Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's hump day. So why does it feel like frump day? Are you barely making it through the week with no energy to speak of? That's all about to change. Welcome to Transforming Health with Brad King. Get ready to live with the vitality, youthfulness, and abundant energy you've always dreamed of. Now, here's your host, Brad.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the show today. Trust me, this is going to be one of the most important shows that you've ever tuned into. So you're not going to want to go very far away from your computer, or your phone, or wherever it is that you're listening to the show today. For those of you that have not had the chance to go on to Facebook and friend me yet, please go ahead and do so. Transforming Health with Brad King. We're going to be putting on a lot of very, very important information through Facebook, as well as giving some incredible discount coupons to many types of nutritional supplements, including my own line. So let's get right into it today. Why are so many people sailing at half mast these days? Worse yet, how many of these people have been living this way for so long, they don't remember what optimal health and vitality even feels like anymore? Too many individuals suffer from a condition. It's a condition of acceptance. They're guilty of accepting their less than healthy status as the way it is. Unfortunately, they don't know any other way to be. Well, not anymore. Welcome to Transforming Health. I'm Brad King, your host, and this is the platform that helps change lives one body at a time. American children are falling victim to an epidemic. They're being diagnosed with chronic illnesses at a breathtaking rate. The following are just a few of the troubling statistics that we're seeing. 1 in 91 children has autism. 1 in 57 boys. 1 in 10 children has ADHD. 1 in 8 children has asthma. 1 in 80 children has celiac disease. 1 in 5 children has allergic eczema. 1 in 12 children under 4 years has true food allergies. Many more have food sensitivities or intolerance that cause medical problems. 1 in 30 children has pediatric depression, and 1 in 2 to 3 children has hay fever or environmental allergies. And there are many other disorders on the rise in children, including ulcerative colitis, Crohn's disease, sensory processing disorder, sensory integration disorder, diabetes, thyroid conditions, acid reflux, and let's not forget about childhood obesity. We're going to be talking about all of these things today. Although each child's condition is unique and many of these illnesses stem from the same set of environmental causes, causes that can and should be prevented. We do need to prevent these, and we're going to learn how to today. This is exactly the subject of today's show. How can we prevent more children from becoming ill and in the process help ensure their abundant health? It's not just about existing. What do children do that we can no longer do or we don't do enough of when we get older? They play. They have mobility. They're able to run outside and, you know, do cartwheels. Why? Because they can. If there's a set of monkey bars, what do? They jump on the monkey bars and they swing on them. Why? Because they can again. You know, we forget how to play when we get a little older, but when we're children, we're able to do all of these things. And unfortunately, for the most part, we take them for granted. And the reason we do it's because we have these things that are available to us until we no longer do. Let's learn how to protect that. My guest today is answering these and many more questions concerning the health of our younger generation. She's a former healthcare consultant and a teacher. She's the executive director of Parents Ending America's Childhood Epidemic, or PEACE, which is an organization that educates the public about the epidemic of chronic illness affecting our youth and helps parents find solutions for healing their children. Please welcome the author of A Compromised Generation, The Epidemic of Chronic Illness in America's Children, Beth Lambert is with us today. Hey, Beth, welcome to the show.
Hi, Brad. Thank you for having me.
Well, you know, I mentioned to you just a few minutes ago off the air that I have not done a show on child's health as of yet. This is the first show, so shame on me for that. We've had a lot of requests for it. Being a nutritional researcher, I love to dive into the nutritional reasons behind many of the disorders that we're suffering from today. And I know we're going to touch on some of these a little later, but first off, your book is called A Compromised Generation. So why are we experiencing this epidemic of illness in today's children? What's going on today that didn't happen years ago? Because as far as I'm concerned, we never heard about the majority of these disorders that children are experiencing, at least in the numbers they're experiencing them many, many years ago. So what's going on? What's happening?
Well, you're right. You don't have epidemics of genetic illnesses. That just doesn't happen. So you have to look to the environment and say, what's happening in our environment or what's changed in our environment that might be precipitating these problems? And if you look over the last few decades, you'll see that there are a number of areas that we really have changed, things in our environment that have changed, things in our culture and our lifestyles. And really, although what affects each child is different in particular to each child, many children in America are experiencing a perfect storm of environmental assaults that are compromising their health. They're weakening their immunity, and it's manifesting itself in all kinds of disease symptoms. And these environmental factors range from the overuse of medications to poor diet and nutrition to improper and really not effectively utilized vaccination policies. And so what we need to do is start thinking about how can we get control of these environmental factors that are affecting our children and start living more healthy lives, because our children are really beginning to suffer. And they're the canaries in the coal mine.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're mimickers as well. I mean, this is one of the things. I just did a lecture at the Victoria Health Show on obesity. And, you know, talking about children, I mean, you know, there are so many parents out there that will point a finger at their children and say, get outside and go and play and, you know, be like the other kids, because their children are becoming obese. And yet that same parent is sitting on a couch with a remote in one hand, you know, and a bag of potato chips in the other, and they don't exercise. And, I mean, doesn't it really start with us?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, everything that has to do with our children's health starts with us and how we model. I think one of the most important things that we do is we set a pattern for diet and nutrition for our children. And so what we eat and what we serve them for meals really will set a pattern for their life and what they think is normal food. And if you feed your children fruits and vegetables right from the beginning, they're going to see that as normal. They're going to like fruits and vegetables. Lots of parents say, oh, my kids won't eat vegetables. How do I get my kid to eat vegetables?
Sure.
Well, if you'd been eating them, you know, when you're pregnant with your child, and if you had served them to them from when they were infants, they really would like them for the most part. Not every child's going to like every food, but
right.
There's patterns and habits that we set up for them, healthy patterns that we need to really be thinking
about.
But
Beth, don't you think there's a lot of confusion out there? Because, I mean, you're a mother, you have three children, which, once again, I can't believe because I've seen your picture. Aside from that fact, I mean, you know, we have to understand that there's a lot of marketing right now for the wrong types of foods. The majority of the foods that we're eating in North America are highly processed. No parent in their right mind would ever intentionally harm their children, of course, and yet we still find these parents feeding kids the majority of the foods that contain, you know, they're almost all sugar, these processed breakfast cereals, for instance, for breakfast. So they wouldn't do that intentionally, once again. Many of them actually think it's a healthy thing to do. So how do we change that? How do we change that way of thinking, where the parents, you know, become more educated and understand that, yeah, it starts with the first meal of the day, for instance?
I think what you're describing is a cultural phenomenon. So you're right. Parents do think they're doing the best thing for their children because that's what they have learned. That's what they see every day, and that's the messages they receive from the media, that these packaged processed foods are okay for their kids. In reality, they're not okay. I mean, the standard American diet is very high in calories. It's deficient in nutrients. And our children are suffering the consequences of eating this kind of food day in and day out. What we really need to be doing is getting back to eating more traditional ways. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the Western Price Foundation.
Sure.
But that's an example of an organization that promotes traditional ways of eating. In other words, eating whole foods that are unadulterated, that haven't been processed and stripped of their nutrients. And I think that that's getting back to our real roots, I mean, the real American roots. What we're used to eating is something that's really cropped up in the last, 50 years or so, since we've become, since post-World War II economy has created this machine of processed packaged foods. Everything's ready and everything's convenient.
Right.
And it's not always easy to prepare whole foods and to cook every meal.
Yeah.
But, it's something that I've learned to do in the last few years because I was brought up in the culture of, put it in the microwave, zap it, eat it. But it's not the way people are meant to eat. We're
right.
supposed to eat healthy, whole.
So it's becoming, it's really waking up more or less and becoming more proactive and understanding we're the only ones that are really going to make the difference, and especially in our children's lives because they're really 100% dependent upon us.
Oh, absolutely.
It's almost like, I have animals. I don't know if you have animals. I have a couple of dogs. And one of the things I've noticed is you can often tell how, the shape of a dog, or actually, you can actually tell the shape of the person walking the dog by looking at the dog. Because, there's so many obese animals that are walking around. And if you have an obese dog and you look up the leash, it's usually an obese person that's walking that dog. And it's that old, nature versus nurture thing again. So it really does start with us. We have to understand our children do not stock our refrigerators. They don't stock our shelves. We're the ones that go to the store. We're the ones that give in to the children's demands of wanting the lollipop and wanting the candy bars. And, if we continuously do that, we're going to create an environment of dysfunction at the metabolic level inside these children, and then the byproduct of that dysfunction is obviously disease and illness, and that's what we're trying to avoid. We're talking to Beth Lambert today. The book is A Compromised Generation, The Epidemic of Chronic Illness in America's Children. We're learning about the environment. We're learning about diet. We're going to learn about the role that things like vaccines play and caffeine and sweetened beverages and all of these things. So stay very close to whatever you're using to listen to this show, and we'll be right back.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Did you know that the environment may play an ever-increasing role in a sluggish metabolism, which can lead to reduced energy and weight gain? The good news is that the Ultimate Her Energy and Ultimate Male Energy can help combat these negative effects. Please visit www.awakenyourbody.com to find out how you can once again look, feel, and perform in a youthful manner.
Are you finding fitness a chore? Is health and nutrition too time-consuming for you? It doesn't have to be like that at all. Tune in to Fit Fan for Fun, Lifestyle Fitness with your host, Shira Litwack. Every week, Shira and her guests will show you the fun side of fitness. We'll invite you to send topic suggestions and questions via email, as well as call into the program. You'll get sensible fitness and nutrition advice in a relaxed and fun program. You won't look at fitness as an enemy ever again. Fit Fan for Fun airs every Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Mark your calendar and set an alarm so you do not miss the highly acclaimed talk show, Holistic Living with Tina Marie and Todd Allen. Tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, noon Central, and 10 a.m. Pacific for inspirational, oftentimes edgy discussions on all that life brings our way with celebrity guests, world-famous authors, and everyday people dedicated to sharing positive, uplifting messages. Tina Marie and Todd Allen bring you the very best in talk radio discussions, guaranteed to make you smile.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
is Transforming Health with host Brad King. Our program will open up your youthful energy potential and help you live a disease-free life of abundant energy and vitality. Now, back to the program.
Hey, welcome back to the show. Although the specific pathophysiology of each individual child's illness varies, they all have the same basic underlying causes. It is a perfect storm of environmental factors, including decades of pharmaceutical overusage, toxic or nutritionally anemic diets, excessive exposure to environmental toxins, specific American habits and lifestyles, and excessive or improperly administered vaccines. The question is, can this epidemic be reversed, and how do we prevent more children from becoming ill? My guest today is answering these and many more questions concerning the health of our younger generation. Once again, former healthcare consultant and teacher and the author of A Compromised Generation, The Epidemic of Chronic Illness in America's Children, Beth Lambert. Beth, we covered a bit about diet in the first section of the show, and you seem to be very, very passionate about the environmental impact on today's, you know, illness with children. And I want to talk about that a little more. I mean, I know in the book you really cover this as being a multifactorial reason why so many kids are sick. You're talking about the environment, you're talking about the diet, you're talking about the medication children are on, you talk about stress and all these various things. But let's just talk a little more about the environment, because I think this is really confusing to the majority of people out there, because they kind of think, well, I'm overwhelmed, there's nothing I can do about the environment, so basically, you know, maybe I could do something about my diet, but I can't do anything about the toxins that are going to be dumped into the water supply and the food supply and the ground and whatever it is. I mean, if you look at the dawn of the petrochemical era in the late 1940s, there was an annual U.S., this is just in the U.S., production of synthetic chemicals, chemicals that were never part of our biological existence before. There was about 1 billion pounds of these in the 1940s. Now, that's annually. There's now over 600 billion pounds of these chemicals that, once again, were never part of our evolutionary existence, if you will. So our bodies really don't know what to do with them. And there's an estimated 40% of world deaths can now be attributed to these various environmental factors, especially chemical pollutants like pesticides. That's from Cornell University. So what's your take? I know you've done a lot of research in this area. How insidious is this problem of these environmental toxins?
Well, I think the environmental toxins are so much more of a problem today than they were, you know, even a few decades ago. Number one, because I think we do live in a much more toxic world. But we have also gotten to a point where our ability to detoxify, to have our bodies detoxify all of these toxins we come in contact with, that has diminished significantly in that last few decades for very specific reasons. And I'll explain a little bit what I mean by that. Essentially, your body has ways of detoxifying chemicals. So one of those ways is the microorganisms that inhabit your gastrointestinal tract. There's trillions of them, and there's 2 to 5 pounds of microorganisms that live in your gut and every human being. And what those microorganisms do, they do a myriad jobs, but one of the most important things that they do is they actually help to detoxify the toxins that you ingest. And when I say ingest, that could be in the air, or the water, the soil you come into contact. It's in the fruits that you eat, the vegetables you eat, whatever it is. And what they do is they actually help to break down the toxins and help you excrete them from your body. And I'll give you one research study that was done that I think really illustrates this point very, very well. And that there were mice that were taken, and they fed the mice different diets. And depending on the diet that the mice received, the mice then received a diet of mercury on top of their normal diet. And whether they received a high-fiber diet or a low-fiber diet, that determined whether they excreted the mercury from their bodies or whether they retained it in their bodies. In the same study, they took these mice, and then they fed one group of mice antibiotics, and the other group of mice did not have antibiotics. And then both groups of mice were again fed mercury. And what they found was that the mice who were fed antibiotics retained the mercury in their liver and brain, their fatty tissues in their body. The mice that did not receive antibiotics actually continued to excrete that mercury out of their bodies. So the lesson to be learned from this study is that those microorganisms, the ones that those antibiotics wiped out in the mice, the microorganisms that live in your gastrointestinal tract, they actually help demethylate mercury. They help to make it less harmful and help you excrete it from your body. So the microorganisms in our gastrointestinal tract are of critical, critical importance to our ability to detoxify.
Right, and so many people are deficient in them because of the overuse of things like the antibiotics, wouldn't you say so?
Exactly. I mean, there's a number of ways that we're depleting our good microorganisms or our probiotics in our gut. Antibiotics are the number one reason that we have destroyed our guts, but we also are using other medications that do the same thing. PPIs is a class of medications, proton pump inhibitors, that are used for reflux. These are Prilosec and Prevacid and all kinds of other medications like hormone medications, steroid medications, birth control pills, asthma medications. These kinds of things actually alter the pH in your gastrointestinal system and make it more hospitable for opportunistic or pathogenic microorganisms, and doesn't give a good environment for the good microorganisms to live. So when you upset the balance in your gastrointestinal tract, you're actually making yourself more susceptible to toxins and the dangers that they pose to our cells and our tissues. So yes, we live in a much, much more toxic world, and we're crippling our ability to detoxify by taking antibiotics and other medications.
So Beth, aside from the fact of, you know, being very cognizant of the fact that things like antibiotic overuse are causing these problems, we can do our homework, so to speak, when we go to the doctor and bring our children to the doctor and question every single time a doctor is ready to write a prescription for an antibiotic. Aside from that, do you believe that children should be supplemented with these probiotic cultures like Acidophilus or Bifidus or so on and so forth?
Absolutely. And that kind of decision is something that should happen between a parent and their healthcare provider. But I personally believe that everybody should be taking probiotics because, I mean, really, in every other culture in the world aside from ours, they have some kind of food that they eat daily. And I'm exaggerating a little bit, not every culture, but most other people in the world eat a probiotic type food as part of their culture, like kefir or yogurt or kimchi in Korea,
or miso,
exactly. Yeah. These are all foods that people just sort of eat. It's part and parcel of what they do every day, and those foods have good bacteria. It helps you replenish your stores of bacteria. We don't eat those in our culture. We eat yogurt, and when we do eat yogurt, if we eat yogurt, it's sugar-laden. It's filled with chemicals. So we need to think about using that maybe as a way to get the probiotics back in, but supplementing is absolutely a good idea, especially for children. I mean, they really need it more than anyone.
Yeah, we actually imported an incredible probiotic from Japan. We have the rights to something called BB536, and you should do some research on this if you haven't had a chance to. It's one of the most research-proven over 25 years, many human clinical studies, and it is a phenomenal probiotic that is actually one of the only shelf-stable probiotics out there. And, you know, for people that are traveling, especially to places like Mexico, you always want to bring things like probiotics. And the problem is most probiotics really need to be refrigerated. This is one of the few that does not have to be refrigerated, and it actually has clinical studies behind it, and that's called the ultimate probiotic. So I'm a big believer in starting with our diet. You know, there's so many individuals that say, well, what can I take? You know, show me what I can take to lose the weight, or show me what I can take to gain the energy or to enhance my immune system. But it really does start with the basics, and probiotics really are a basic, just as protein is a basic and the right type of carbohydrates and the right type of fats. Let's talk about fats for a second. Do you think the majority of children are deficient in the right types of fats?
Absolutely. There is no question that the fats is a problem, and understanding what fats we should be eating, it's a problem in our culture because we have this low-fat mentality that everything we have to eat, low-fat dairy, low-fat chips, low-fat crackers, as if that's a good choice to make, when really it's not. We need to be thinking about good fats, and that is fats that are not inflammatory. The omega-3 fats are the ones we need to be eating. Those fats from avocados and nuts and seeds and, the fish like salmon.
Right.
Those are the kinds of fats that we really need to incorporate. Coconut oil. And everyone's afraid of coconut oil because it's a saturated fat, but it's really actually very healthy fat, and we need it in our bodies.
Yeah, I put it into shakes every morning. It contains a fat called MCTs, or medium-chain triglycerides. So you're right. I mean, it's a fat that actually encourages the body to burn more fat for energy. So
Exactly. It's just good fats that we need, not the bad fats.
Well, exactly. And the human brain is 60% fat by dry weight. So, you know, we're really all fatheads when we think about it, or at least we should be. But the body will take in whatever fats you give it, and that will become part of the structure of the cell. So if you're going to give the body bad fats or man-made fats or what we call trans fats, then that's what's going to become incorporated as part of that cellular structure, and it's very dangerous. But if you're going to eat more of, you know, what Beth is talking about, the omega-3s, the flaxseed oil or the flaxseed or the hemp seed oil or the hemp seed or the, you know, the fish oil, non-farmed, wild fish oil, molecularly distilled if you're going to take it as a supplement, or krill oil, where there's a lot of research on krill oil now, these are all very, very important fats for the body. And as you mentioned, Beth, yes, we have become fat phobics. And I think the most important thing people really don't realize is inflammation is either the root cause or one of the factors behind almost every single disease and disorder that we now know of. And yet that whole inflammatory cascade starts with the wrong types of fats.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we're going to go to another break right now. Stay by your phone. Stay by your computer. Pass the show on to everybody. This information that our expert today, Beth Lambert, is sharing with you, this is fundamentally important. I mean, our younger generation absolutely 100% depends on this, depends on us to make the right decision. So it's important for us to pass this kind of information on. We need to do so. The book is called A Compromised Generation. I highly recommend this book, and don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Are you in pain? Do you want more energy? A stronger immune system? Rarely does nature reveal a therapeutic agent so incredible that medical researchers and the people who try it are astounded by its health-enhancing benefits. Introducing Leaf Source, a mineral product that is derived from a 100% natural, organic, prehistoric seabed deposit. To find out how Leaf Source can help you, visit www.leafsource.com.
Ask Theo Live is talk radio like you've never heard before. Following her near-death experience, world-renowned author and spiritual medium Sheila Gillette became the direct voice channel for Theo, a consortium of 12 archangels. Through this unique channel, Sheila and her co-host Marcus Gillette present you with an opportunity to speak directly with Theo live on air on any topic you wish to discuss, including receiving authentic messages from deceased loved ones and angelic guides. Get the answer you need by tuning in to Ask Theo Live Talk Radio. Tuesday mornings at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on Seventh Wave Network. Are you ready to get freed up? Join Dr. Jennifer Fried, one of America's leading psychological thinkers, for a groundbreaking program with fascinating guests and full participation from you. Freed Up will explore topics like liberation in long-term relationships, parenting in the 21st century, comfort in stressful times, and much more. Tune in to Freed Up every Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel, and wake up to the heartbeat of your life.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Transforming Health with host Brad King. Our program will open up your youthful energy potential and help you live a disease-free life of abundant energy and vitality. Now, back to the program.
Hey, welcome back. Have your children been diagnosed with autism or ADHD? How about allergies or asthma? What about celiac disease, learning or behavioral disorders? How about diabetes or any other chronic illness for that matter? Do your children or the children that you know exhibit symptoms like chronic constipation, frequent fevers, chronic diarrhea, eczema, food sensitivities, chronic infections. It could be infections of the ear, strep, urinary, colds. What about colic, reflux, sensory problems, obsessive compulsive behaviors, developmental delays, or other health and medical problems? Have they been diagnosed properly? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you better pay very close attention to the subject of today's show and especially to today's guest. Today's guest is a former healthcare consultant and teacher. She's the executive director of Parents Ending America's Childhood Epidemic, or PEACE, which is an organization that educates the public about the epidemic of chronic illness affecting our youth and helps parents find solutions for healing their children. Please welcome back the author of A Compromised Generation, The Epidemic of Chronic Illness in America's Children. What a phenomenal book. What a phenomenal guest. Beth Lambert, welcome back to the second half of Transforming Health.
Thanks, Ed.
Beth, let's talk a little more about diet since we're on that subject, and you seem to be very passionate about it, which is very welcoming to me. We spoke about fatty acids. We spoke about the importance of the right types of fats, you know, doing away with too many of the wrong types of fats, too many of what we call the omega-6 fats, which are largely behind the inflammatory disorders that so many people experience, and really embracing, not being afraid of, embracing more of the omega-3 family of fats, the fats that come from flaxseed and hemp seed and fish oils and krill oil. And also, you know, we have to understand the monounsaturated fats. The body is largely comprised of monounsaturated fats from things like avocado oil and almonds and walnuts and, you know, things like, all of these Mediterranean fats that we know of. And you even brought up coconut oil, which is one of my favorites. Very, very good fat, even though it's a saturated fat. It's a good form of saturated fat that allows the body to use fat for energy. Let's move into sugar, and let's move into the hidden epidemic of the wrong types of sugar, because we have to understand all carbohydrates are really sugar. They just break down at different intervals, and fruits and vegetables are good forms of that sugar. But what do you think about the overconsumption of the wrong types of sugars and that connection to the majority of these diseases that you speak of in your book?
Well, there is no question that we consume far too much sugar in this society. I mean, in 1821, the average American consumed about 10 pounds of sugar per year. Now we consume, on average, about 140 pounds per person. I mean, that's a ridiculous amount of sugar that we consume every year. But the problem with that, and there's so many problems with it, you know, what it does to spike our blood sugar and the insulin resistance that creates. But I look at it as the problem that it causes in our guts, and that is this: all this sugar feeds pathogenic or opportunistic microorganisms in our gut, and it doesn't do a thing for the good germs that we want to keep in our gut. And so what that does is it creates an automatic imbalance in your gastrointestinal system. And once you have that imbalance, you're setting the stage for disease. And it's only a matter of time before you develop food allergies or migraine headaches or other kinds of symptoms that come downstream of that. But the sugar, there's so many problems, but I am particularly concerned about destroying our gut health and therefore our immune health
right.
just by eating the wrong kinds of, like you said, carbohydrates.
Right. Now, Beth, what about, I mean, you know, let's face it, everybody knows you go back 30 or 40 years ago and we had, you know, this thing called adult onset diabetes, right? Because it was just, you know, no children ever suffered from it. It was a very, very minute percentage of the children's population that ever suffered from type 2 diabetes, you know, other than obviously where their pancreas was destroyed from type 1 diabetes. Now we call it type 2 diabetes because, you know, we're seeing once again an epidemic of children that are experiencing diabetes. And when we have type 2 diabetes, as we are when we're adults, you know, up to 90% of us are over fat. Many of us are obese before we have that full onset of type 2 diabetes. We're seeing this with children as well. So do you think that the amount of sugars that we're giving our children these days, do you think that's one of the major implicating factors in the obesity epidemic with our kids, but also with type 2 diabetes?
I absolutely do think it's a major factor. There's no question that sugar is contributing to insulin-resistant diabetes, obesity. But at the same time, we have to remember that these conditions occur not just because of what we eat. They actually also have to do with the toxins that we're exposed to. And in some cases, vaccinations may even play a role in the onset of things like diabetes. Because diabetes, very few people know, is actually an autoimmune condition. And
right.
What that means is that the body's immune system is attacking its own cells. And the autoimmune conditions, or when your immune system operates aberrantly and does things it's not supposed to, you have to start saying, well, what triggered this? Why is this doing this? And there are some studies, there's some medical literature that's beginning to connect the dots between immune dysregulation and diabetes and vaccine-induced immune regulation.
You see, when I talk about type 2 diabetes, especially with children and the obesity epidemic that we're experiencing, because I think that is one of the most, you know, most insidious of any disease nowadays, is this obesity, because it's causing so many other conditions, especially in our children. I'm talking about, you know, the excessively high levels of the response to that sugar. So hyperinsulinemia, very high levels of insulin in our children that are leading to the destruction of the pancreas, because the pancreas just can't keep up with that assault of all of these sugars. And I think the major sugar which is causing the majority of the problems is the sugar that is in the almost everything, which is high fructose corn syrup. You know, if you look at most of history, humans only consumed about 15 grams of fructose, which is natural fruit sugar. Today, on average, we're consuming about 81 grams of this high fructose corn syrup, and it's causing us to create things like type 2 diabetes. And also, this high fructose corn syrup has been shown to become fat very, very easily in the body, more so than any other type of sugar. So I'd love your comment on the overconsumption of high fructose corn syrup before we move on.
Well, I mean, it just goes back to what we were saying before about us eating too many processed, packaged foods. I mean, high fructose corn syrup doesn't occur in nature. There's nothing natural about it.
Right.
And it's thrown into virtually every processed food. I mean, it's beginning to be taken out, and people are starting to put sugar back in, which I don't think that's great either. But it is really, it's ubiquitous. It's hard to avoid. It's in soda. It's in packaged cakes, cookies, candies, anything that's sweet has high fructose corn syrup, ketchup. I mean, that's the major problem here, is we're consuming so much of it. That because we're eating so much processed food, if we cut out the processed foods, we wouldn't really be dealing with this as much. If we went back to eating natural, whole, organic foods, high fructose corn syrup would be off the table. It wouldn't even be an issue.
Now, here's the interesting thing. There are numerous published studies that use rodent models, obviously, and they show that these rodents that are fed the high fructose corn syrup, they develop insulin resistance in very, very short periods of time, sometimes just a few weeks. And a very good friend of mine, Dr. Michael Schmidt from NASA, he's noted, actually, he wrote about this in one of the books we wrote together. He said that these effects are so predictable that many scientists now use fructose to induce these conditions in animals so they can study the drugs that actually might correct them. So understand, you know, this is one of the most dangerous things that you can do. Give your children, you know, these fruit drinks, and even in some cases too much fruit juice, because it's way too concentrated a form of fructose for the body. So, you know, let's really pay a little more attention to what we're feeding our children. And I just want to cover this one more time before we move on here, Beth. You know, the way the labeling laws right now for the breakfast cereals, the way that these companies, these big giant corporations, can hide the amount of sugars that they actually put in some of these dry breakfast cereals, many of those breakfast cereals are about one-third sugar. So, you know, what kind of advice would you give people about starting the day off the right way for their children?
The first thing I would say is just don't eat breakfast cereal. I mean, there's nothing good about breakfast cereal. I hate to say it, but because it's so easy. I'm a mom. I get it. There's a rush in the morning, and you want to do something that's quick and easy, but that's just not the answer. A better choice is to do something that has high protein content, like eggs. Pastured organic eggs are a great way to start if you don't have a food sensitivity, or, you know, any kinds of nut or seed butters on, you know, whole grain breads. Those are better choices than doing the standard easy thing. And it doesn't have, an egg takes 10 seconds. It's really, you know, scramble it up in a pan.
Sure.
So there's better choices. And, yeah, I know kids like the cereals, and that's part of the problem. The appeal is there. The media goes after them, but...
Well, once again, protein, you know, doing the right type of protein shake, a child doesn't have to know you're giving something to them that's actually good for them. You know, you can do something like a high alpha whey protein. You can put in blueberries and you can put in, you know, things like organic coconut oil or flaxseed oil. And it's actually delicious. A child will actually think that they're getting something that's really not that good for them. And that's another great way to start off the day, especially if you're in a time crunch and you have maybe 5 minutes to make a meal for your child, and you know, also for that child to consume it. What I want to kind of shift here for a second. I want to talk a little more about the environment, but I want to talk about it in regards to what a pregnant woman is actually exposed to, because this all starts prenatally. And one of the things, there was a study that just came out today, and it was from the University of California in San Francisco, and they identified 163 chemicals in 268 pregnant women, including phthalates and phenols and percochlorate and polychlorinated biphenyls, or the PCBs and the DDTs and the PFCs. And I mean, the list just goes on and on. So, you know, what's your take? What kind of research have you done on what a pregnant woman is exposed to, and how that woman can protect herself and obviously the development of her child?
Well, I mean, this kind of these studies are horrifying. There was another one done by the Environmental Working Group in 2005 where they looked at newborns, and they there was an average of 200 industrial chemicals and pollutants found in these newborns. I mean, we're talking about, you know, chemicals that cause cancer in humans or animals, or are toxic to the brain and nervous system, or cause birth defects. And these babies don't even have a chance when they're coming out like that. I mean, it's really horrifying. But I think what a mother can do to minimize that is be very conscientious about what she eats and about her gastrointestinal health. And remember what I said before about you have to keep those probiotics going. You have to protect your gastrointestinal system and put in the gatekeepers there. Those microorganisms help you detoxify. Because, again, we live in such a toxic world. What are we going to do? Just throw up our hands and say, forget it. It's too toxic. What can I do?
Right.
You gotta eat right. Eat organic fruits and vegetables to try and minimize the exposure in the first place. You eat animals that are pastured and organic instead of, you know, feedlot animals if you are, you know, not a vegetarian. And you minimize the toxins going in, and then you do what you can to help your body detoxify by having good gastrointestinal health. Eat lots of fruits and vegetables, high fiber, you know, minimize the amount of refined sugars and carbohydrates that you take in. And that's actually going to help your body to eliminate the toxins much more effectively.
Yeah, Beth, I love that you're so passionate about the probiotics, the good bacteria, because, you know, that's one of the things that is kind of boring for a lot of people. It's like talking about fiber, you know. It's
right.
Been done. It's like, you know, tell me something new out there. But, you know, we really do have to concentrate on those basics. More fiber coming from, you know, organic fruits and vegetables primarily, then the right types of grains. And we can talk about that next, because a lot of people are very, very confused about this condition called celiac disease or sensitivity to gluten. We're going to talk about that next. I just want to add something to, you know, those horrifying statistics that we spoke about. 99% of human breast milk contains these substances that are called PCBs, and 25% contains the concentrations that exceed the legal limit. That's 2.5 parts per million. So if this were commercial formula, it would be too contaminated to be bottled and sold. Think about that until we come back with the final segment of Transforming Health. You're listening to Brad King and my guest today, Beth Lambert, A Compromised Generation. Let's learn once and for all what to do to protect the health of our children. We'll be right back.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Did you know that the environment may play an ever-increasing role in a sluggish metabolism, which can lead to reduced energy and weight gain? The good news is that the Ultimate Her Energy and Ultimate Male Energy can help combat these negative effects. Please visit www.awakenyourbody.com to find out how you can once again look, feel, and perform in a youthful manner. Are you in pain? Do you want more energy? A stronger immune system? Rarely does nature reveal a therapeutic agent so incredible that medical researchers and the people who try it are astounded by its health-enhancing benefits. Introducing Leaf Source, a mineral product that is derived from a 100% natural, organic, prehistoric seabed deposit. To find out how Leaf Source can help you, visit www.leafsource.com.
Frankly Speaking About Cancer is a program designed to empower survivors and their caregivers to deal with the social and emotional challenges of cancer. The show will invite physicians, researchers, nurses, social workers, patients, and caregivers to share their advice on how to live a better life with cancer. Join host Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Cancer Support Community, Tuesday afternoons at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Network.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Transforming Health with host Brad King. Our program will open up your youthful energy potential and help you live a disease-free life of abundant energy and vitality. Now, back to the program.
Hey, welcome back to the final segment. Seemingly benign elements of American culture are making millions of children chronically ill, disabled, or dysfunctional. Children are being diagnosed with illnesses such as autism, asthma, allergies, and ADHD at breathtaking rates. Researchers have discovered that environmental factors that cause autism are the same ones causing epidemics of ADHD, juvenile diabetes, asthma, gastrointestinal disorders, and many other chronic illnesses. Once again, former healthcare consultant and teacher and the author of an incredible book, which we're talking about today, A Compromised Generation, The Epidemic of Chronic Illness in America's Children, Beth Lambert. Beth, we really covered a lot about diet, and I think it's very, very important because this is one of the ways in which we're going to be able to protect our children against the onslaught of a lot of these diseases and illnesses. And I want to talk about gluten sensitivity for a second because, you know, let's face it, grains are the hallmark of our dietary intake. They're the majority of what the industrialized diets are made of within North America. And, you know, people eat breads and pies and cakes and breakfast cereals and porridge and cookies and pizzas and pastas, and all of these contain, or many of them anyway, contain gluten, which is a protein that's found in things like wheat and rye and oats and barley. So a lot of people really do have this gluten intolerance, and there was a great book that was written a few years ago. You may have read this. It was called Dangerous Grains. And they spoke about gluten intolerance not just affecting people with this disorder called celiac disease, which is an allergic reaction to gluten, but really possibly the majority of the population. So, you know, how many children do you think are really affected by the problems associated with this protein in grains?
I think there's no way to know, but I think it is a large number. I mean, we know for sure that celiac disease is probably found in at least one in 133 people. I mean, that's the most recent statistic, and but that's considered a disease that is grossly underdiagnosed. I mean, I am sure that those that are gluten intolerant, it's a much greater number, and there's no way to know exactly. But it's the kind of thing that in my experience, I have been talking to enough parents over the last few years as I've done my research, that have kids who have every kind of symptom from migraine headaches to schizophrenia to bipolar disorder, depression, learning disabilities, who have taken their kids off of gluten and seen profound changes.
Sure.
And we know that these gluten intolerance, it has all kinds of consequences in terms of neurobehavioral problems and all kinds of mental and physical health problems. So it's a huge problem.
Yeah. I think it's important for us to differentiate between a sensitivity or an intolerance and an allergy, because, you know, for people that think of food allergies is it's a pretty serious condition where the immune system starts to get involved and starts to attack the invader, and it's really a food source, but the body's really going after it. You know, you think of things like anaphylactic shock. Well, that's a severe side effect of a food allergy, but a food sensitivity is something much different. It's coming from somewhere else in the body, and it's much harder to really ascertain where that actual sensitivity is coming from, isn't it?
Yeah, it is harder to know whether, well, you can do a test. You can do an IgE test to look to see if you have a food allergy. That's a, quote, true food allergy. But these food intolerances are much harder to diagnose. I mean, you can take an IgG test, which is another kind of immunoglobulin that you test for to see if you have a sensitivity to something like gluten. But even then, that can come up negative. It's not 100%. Our immunology is not a very well-developed science as far as trying to understand what is going on. But what we do know is that oftentimes when people have symptoms and they remove these foods from their diet, simple diet elimination technique, the symptoms improve. You put the food back in, the symptoms come back. I mean, that's really how simple it is. And you know that you have some kind of intolerance. That's why we have these words intolerance, because it means your body's not tolerating it. And frankly, I think if you have an intolerance, you got to take that food out, because it's causing oxidative stress and damage to your cells and tissues. And the other thing is that people should know that you can actually recover from these intolerances through the right gut healing protocols and through some alternative therapies. You can reverse food allergies and food sensitivities. I've done so with my children. I know dozens and dozens of parents have done so with their children.
Right.
So,
Beth, 90% of all of these food sensitivities that we're talking about are really caused by about four classes of food. So the four classes are cow's milk, tyrosine, or what people would know of as tyramine, gluten, which we just spoke about, preservatives and additives. What's your take on cow's milk and children?
Well, I think I have a very controversial point. I tend to share the opinion of the Weston Price people, which is that we ought not to be drinking pasteurized milk. And I know that there's safety concerns with that because of, foodborne pathogens. But I'm an advocate for raw milk. I think raw milk is a healthy and appropriate way to consume dairy. There's so many people that can't tolerate dairy simply because it's pasteurized. And the proteins in pasteurized dairy are denatured so that your body does not know how to utilize these proteins and break them down effectively and actually may recognize them as invaders and stimulate the immune system. So I do also think there are better kinds of dairy. There's a whole debate about A1 dairy versus A2 dairy, which come from different types of cows. I think Jersey cows are an example of a good type of cow that we ought to be getting our milk from. But again, it's very controversial. Not everybody can tolerate dairy.
Right, and I think, there was one study that I read that showed that cow's milk contains over 20 different proteins that can actually cause either an allergic reaction or a food sensitivity-like reaction in the body. And you know what Beth and I are talking about when we're discussing cow's milk, and I'm a very big proponent of raw milk as well, Beth, just so you know. And there is something to be said about when we talk about adding a great deal of heat to a natural source of protein, as you said, we denature it. We change its molecular structure, and it's no longer as recognized by the human body. There's a very, very low bioavailability factor, and the body, if it doesn't recognize it as something natural, what does it do? Well, it protects you. It actually goes after whatever that substance is. And we're not talking about lactose intolerance here. We're not talking about the body's inability to break down the carbohydrates or the sugar, lactose, in milk. We're talking about other sensitivities that are caused from other substances found in the milk. What about things like food additives and, the artificial colors, the benzoates, the sulfites, the BHTs? What's your opinion on these causing a lot of the illnesses in children?
Well, it's not that they cause it alone, but they are one of the factors that contributes to the symptoms. For instance, a great example is ADHD. There's tons of literature on these food additives and what they do in terms of contributing to the symptoms of hyperactivity and inattentiveness. So parents, time and time again, have removed additives and preservatives and all these artificial colorings, et cetera, from their kids' diet, and they've seen tremendous improvement in their attentiveness and their hyperactivity symptoms.
Right.
So that is something that is dangerous and easy to take out, frankly.
Okay, Beth, we've only got a couple of minutes, and I want to cover, in your opinion, what some of the most important things that parents can do to help prevent these chronic illnesses in children. Just shoot them out there, and we'll have a conversation about them.
I think one of the most important things is to not give your child an antibiotic unless it's absolutely necessary. And I would say the same thing with most other medications, because, again, it disrupts the gut flora.
Okay.
I also think that it's critical that children eat organic fruits and vegetables. And also, I think parents need to pay attention to their kids' diet. And it is important what they eat. And they do need to be eating, the majority of their diet ought to be fruits and vegetables and whole foods, not processed foods.
Right. What about vaccinations?
Vaccinations is a 4-hour conversation. It's very complex. I think we're over-vaccinating our children, and I think we're vaccinating children when they have compromised immune systems, when their gastrointestinal health is not what it should be. A child should never be vaccinated while on an antibiotic or while sick, and we do it all the time, and I think it causes real problems for children. So we need to be very careful, and we need to review how we vaccinate our children.
How about we just start by reading your book, Beth? How about we start
there? Great idea.
We've been talking to Beth Lambert, the author of A Compromised Generation. You heard it from her. This sounds like a fantastic read, something I would highly recommend. And I think we all need to step up to the plate, learn a little more about how to protect our future generation and pass this information on, share this type of information with as many people as you possibly can, and share this show with as many people as you possibly can, because this is what it's all about. This is the information, so absolutely vital, so imperative, and it has to start here. I'm Brad King. You are listening to Transforming Health. And Beth, if people want to get a hold of the book or learn more about you and the things you do, please give them the information on how to do so.
They can go to www.acompromisedgeneration.com. The book's available on Amazon, Borders.com, Barnes & Noble. They can also go to my nonprofit website, which is Epidemic Answers, www.epidemicanswers.org.
Okay, Beth, I hope you come back soon. You were a fantastic guest. I want to thank everybody for listening to the show, and I want to thank you even more for passing on this information continually. Go out there, have yourself a fantastic week, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks, Brad.
For tuning in to Transforming Health with Brad King. Be sure to join us again next Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Looking forward to next week. Now, with your newfound energy, go out and make it work for you.